The Christmas Christmas time, everybody's looking forward to a Christmas message. So, we're going to have one. We're going to have a good Christmas message, I hope, this morning. Well, the message will be good. Let's hope that the preacher can hold it together. We'll just see. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, if you want to look there. And I am very thankful for Christmas. The older I get, I think the more thankful I get, not because of the presents, all the commercialism and driving through Jonesboro can make me lose my Christmas spirit really quick. But, I remember that, you know what, it's not about the presents, it's not about the traffic, but it is about, thank you, buddy. But it is about a Savior. It is about somebody before the foundation of the world, that is God. He is the one who established this plan that knew that I was going to need a Savior. He knew I was going to need somebody to die for my sins because my righteousness, it's as a filthy rag. Everything that I may do, it's never going to be good enough. If I was going to try to pay my sin debt, I would spend eternity trying to pay it off and never pay it off. You know that song? You know, with our Christmas commercialism that we have going on, you think, we get into this mindset that, money can buy the things that I want or that I think that I need. But the thing that you need the most is the forgiveness of your sins, and money can't buy that. It costs the life of Jesus Christ. It cost the blood of the one that the Scripture would say in 2 Timothy 3:16 that God was manifest in the flesh. He was seen of angels. We've preached about Him. The testimony of men is recorded in God's Word and also in other places. But we needed that. And Christmas is about so much more. You know, Christmas really is God's true joy for us, if we can accept it. Would you read with me in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 1? It says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when at the time he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and the garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Will you pray with me, dear Lord? I want to thank you for your passage of Scripture from Isaiah. I want to thank you for this popular verse that many of us know, that a child was born unto us, and your son was given. The government is upon his shoulder. And his name, it really is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord, I thank you for so much. I want to thank you that you gave your only begotten son during this time. And we celebrate it. Just about the whole world celebrates this time every year. Lord, help them to really see your Prince of Peace this year. And may those under the sound of my voice not forget that this is a special time, a holy day before our Almighty God, where we set aside a time to celebrate you more than we do the things in this world. Help us to never forget. Help us to seek your face. Lord, would you give me the words to speak? I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with me and with your people this morning. Will you show us what we need to see from your word this morning? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to rehearse your memory back in verse 1 that the land of Zebulun and Naphtali is referring to the northern kingdom of Israel. You've heard the stories that I've been telling about the northern kingdom and Israel, how they turned, you know, when they split from Israel, from Judah, after King Solomon died. And there became the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Naphtali and Zebulun is referring to the northern kingdom. Whenever Jeroboam split the nation, he did something. He established false worship in that new developed state. It was the worship of Baal, the golden calf. He set them up. He set up two places of worship, one in Bethel and one at Dan. He said, "It was too hard for you to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship. Just go to Bethel or Dan. It's more convenient. Don't waste your time traveling. It's cheaper if you go worship here. It's right there beside you." The only thing is that they did not serve Almighty God there. They served a golden calf, one of the gods that has followed them throughout their whole time from Israel. It hasn't gone away. God took Israel out of Egypt, but he never got Egypt fully out of Israel. You know, that's a problem that Americans have. We're holding on to a bunch of Egypt inside of us. God wants us to let go of the world, but we're holding on to something. And Israel was holding on to something from their past, and it never let them go until God drove them out. You know, they don't have a problem with the golden calves anymore because God fixed it. But the price was very expensive that Israel had to pay. In fact, most of those people who were a part of that, their bloodlines is in everyone else. They never held on to it. They lost it because they fell into that. Another place that's there, just to remind you, the city of Nazareth is in this part of Israel. The area of Galilee. If you're familiar with the teachings of Jesus, you remember that Jesus came from Nazareth, right? He came out of Nazareth. That's where Joseph went. When he came back into Israel, that's where Jesus grew up. Jesus the Nazarene. That's where he was from. And then when he began to preach, where did he preach? He preached in the area around Galilee. That's also in the northern kingdom. So look back at this verse 1. It says, "The dimness shall not always be as was in her vexation." So Isaiah is reminding them, you see what's going on now, Israel, that you're being vexed because what the punishment that God was sending to them was more other kingdoms, Syria and Moab coming in and messing with the northern kingdom a lot. And God was vexing them. He was trying to get their attention. You know, a country that is having problems with their relationship with God is in continual war. Do you realize that? You see that throughout the Scripture. I'm just saying, United States, have we been in continual war for a while? For the whole last century and a half. In fact, almost since the development of our nation, we have been at war. That means that we have struggled with our relationship with our Creator. The more we struggle, the worse the wars get. And eventually, it will come to our borders. Are we having border issues? Oh my goodness. Turn on your news. They're talking about a government shutdown because of the border issue. I'm not saying I can go whichever way, I guess. I'm not talking about politics today. I'm talking about a nation that is struggling with their relationship with their Creator will have border issues. You can find that in the Bible. Israel experienced that. Regardless of what you agree about it, it's up there. It's a topic. Other nations will want to come in and take us over. That's what happened in Israel because of their relationship. And God says the dimness that was back then will not always be. He says, I'm going to give them a light. You realize that there was a light that came? His name was Jesus. Can you imagine Nazareth? If you went to the temple, you would have heard Jesus speak. Or to the synagogue, you would have heard Jesus speak every now and then. If you hung around Galilee during Jesus' time, you would have seen Jesus walking in the crowds and the throngs following Him. What an amazing time. They had a light that came. But it says there in verse 2 that these people that walked in the darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the shadow of death. You know, that's kind of an idiom that Israel uses, or that the Hebrew uses. That's the place where you feel like you're about to die. You feel like you're really close to this. That there's no hope. There's no way I'm going to get through this. There's no help. Who can save me? And this is where Israel ended up. They wanted a Savior, but they kept looking to the wrong gods. They would always ask those gods' prophets. They would never turn back to the God who brought them out of Egypt. They couldn't find Him. They didn't know what He looked like. And the reason is because in their minds, they were doing what they thought was right. I go to Bethel all the time and I serve God. He's not the God of the Bible. He's not the one that God said, you should serve me and me only. Thou shalt not make unto thee any other graven image. What do you see when you go to Bethel? Well, I see a graven image. Isn't that God? That's not God. That's the same problem that we have a lot of times. We look at something and we say, that is my God. It can't save you. There's nothing in this world that can save you. You can have all the money in the world. You cannot purchase the forgiveness of your sins. It's a free gift that only comes from the light that was coming, that came about 2,000 years ago. They saw a great light. But those people were walking in the shadow of death. They were living in the shadow of death. You know, David, he talked about it in Psalms 23. He says that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Naphtali and Zebulun, they were dwelling there. They lived there. They lived in a hopeless environment where they could not find the Prince of Peace. They couldn't find anything wonderful. They couldn't find a good counselor. They absolutely did not know the everlasting Father because they dwelt in the valley of the shadow of death. David would say, I walked through there. I was there once. But I got out of it because I saw the light and I followed it. Just like the wise men, when they saw the light, what did it say? What does the scripture say? That they followed the light. Wherever it went, they followed the light. Hey, there's an expression that we sometimes use, that wise men still seek Him. I think it applies. Wise men still seek Him. Yes, you may go through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't dwell there. Yes, sometimes you're going to walk through it. Don't live there. God has got His hand outstretched. He says, come, get out of the darkness. Look to the light. A great light has been shown to God's people. His name is Jesus. This Christmas, are you looking for hope? Are you looking for something wonderful? Are you looking for a counselor? Are you looking for an everlasting Father? Are you looking for the Prince of Peace? His name is Jesus. Yeah, they dwelt there. David walked through it. Hey, you may walk through it. Don't live there. Come out of it. Look to that great light. It seems so interesting, you know, that, you know, one of the things that we have during Christmas is lights. Anybody seen a light display up? Some people really like their lights, don't they? Me, I get irritated at the lights because often when I go to put them up on the tree, they won't work. That frustrates me. I don't want to touch the lights because they don't work. Hey, we're not talking about man's light. We're talking about God's light. His light always is lit. Isn't that interesting? That the thing that most people like about Christmas when they're driving around is they want to look at the lights. Man, if you got some little kids in your vehicle, when we were living in Utah, and we would often come back during Christmas time, and we would see the lights, and man, all of them were little then, and whichever side of the vehicle that the kids was on, we would say, Christmas lights on Micah's side, or Christmas lights on Noah's side of the vehicle, and they would know to turn their head and look that direction, because they didn't know their right and their left yet, and they enjoyed it. Hey, there's a Christmas light on Jesus' side today. Would you look to it? There's not a valley of shadows when the light's there, when you could come out of it. Israel had refused, and they lived in blindness. They refused to accept the truth that they needed to turn back to God. God has shown us a great light. John chapter 1 and verse 9 would say it like this about Jesus. He would say that this was the true light, speaking of Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's something about light that offers life, that offers warmth, that offers comfort. You ever been in a cave? Gone back to the back and they turn and, you know, it's kind of lit up so you can see where you're walking, and then they turn out the lights. How dark is it? You can't even see the hand in front of your face. It's darkness that you can feel. But then they turn on the lights, and all of a sudden, comfort returns. Oh, now I can see. I'm not going to fall if I tried to make it back in the dark. I don't even know if I would make it out. I don't even know which way I was facing when they turn out the lights in the cave. You know, we've got so many people that are living in this world that they're like they're in that cave. And the lights are turned out. They don't know which way they're going. They have no hope. They have no refuge. They don't know where to turn. But Jesus says, I'm the light. And you can do just like the wise men. Just follow the light. He'll take you to where you need to be. He'll take you to the place that you need to go. He is the true light. Look in verse 4 with me. It says, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Hey, wouldn't that feel good? I know nobody here has any problems, right? There's no burdens on you. You've got complete peace every single day. No problems. Anybody like that? I guess not. So that means that this verse could apply to you. Hey, Jesus can take the yoke that you're dealing with, and he can break it. He can break the yoke of this burden that's dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. He can help you to see that light. Look in verse 3. I know this could be a little bit of a controversial verse, depending on if you're using a version that's not a King James this morning. I'm reading out of the King James. It says, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. You're like, well, what does that mean? You've multiplied them, but their joy is not increased. They joy. This is how they joy. It says they joy before thee according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Let me explain it a little bit. I know y'all probably don't need it, but there may be somebody that needs to understand this. It says, he has not increased the true joy that comes in a person's life. He says, you joy because you've got stuff. That's what the second part is. That's not how you joy in Jesus Christ. That's not how you joy whenever you're serving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can the world offer a little bit of joy? It can. You can enjoy the stuff that's in this world. But let me tell you, you can't take any of it with you. And one day you're going to die. And you're going to stand before Almighty God. And what joy are you going to have if you've put all of your trust in stuff and you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ? You think there's going to be joy there? Those people who were dwelling in the land of the shadow of death, they have no joy because they have not trusted in their Savior. They've trusted in stuff. They joy in winning the battle. They joy in winning. The stuff gets them nowhere. They lost it all. Do you understand that's what happened to Israel? They lost everything. They lost their land. They lost their possessions. They lost their families. They lost their friends because they did not trust in the Lord God, the Most High, who gave them their right to the land of Canaan to begin with. God has given you a great gift this morning. You are alive and you're here under the sound of my voice, and I'm telling you about that great light, Jesus Christ. And you can joy in Him. You can enjoy the other things a little bit, but don't look to them as the joy, because they're not going to get you to heaven. In fact, they'll probably keep you out, because you'll trust in those things and you will not trust in your Lord and Savior. You must trust in Him to be saved. Yeah, they enjoyed the harvest of spoils, but let me tell you what Jesus does to you. The true joy that comes, it says, a burning fire inside of you. Look at verse 5. It says, for every battle of the warrior is with a confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Hey, true joy has a burning sensation. Just like a fire that's raging, that has a continual flame. You know, I use the expression sometimes when I'm trying to help kids my kids or someone else understand a concept, and then it you see the light bulb goes off. They finally get it, and I say, well, now you're cooking with gas. Why would I say that? Because you don't have to worry about the wood burning out. You don't have to worry about how you arrange the coals. It's like there's a constant supply. Did you know the Bible talked about stuff like that? He says, true joy comes when you're cooking with gas. When you're burning inside, and it's as a fire that has this constant fuel. What would John say in Luke 3:16? John would answer them when they thought that he was the Christ, and he would say, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with this, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hey, this Christmas, I don't know how you're feeling. I don't know what you're thinking. But I know we've got a bunch of Christians that are people that call themselves Christians that where's their joy? If they've got Jesus Christ living inside of them, where is their joy? It should be burning inside of them. Like there's a constant supply of fuel. Yeah, they may be having a hard day, but you turn the subject talking about Jesus, talking about the Bible, and all of a sudden they light up, because that is where their source of encouragement comes from. But then you have a bunch of other people who say that they're Christians, and they don't get a fire brewing inside of them when you bring up that topic. In fact, they want to change the subject. Is there something wrong? I'll tell you that there's something wrong. The truth is, if they've got the Holy Ghost inside of them, they have that joy, and it feels like they're burning inside, that there is a constant supply of that fuel, because the Holy Ghost is not weak. He never gets tired. Yes, I may, But when the subject turns to talking about Him or His Word, man, it doesn't matter how much water's been poured on me, my fire starts burning again. Because there's a true source of joy. Hey, this Christmas, don't be thinking about the stuff as much as you are. Do I have true joy? Do I really have the Holy Ghost? Do I get excited about studying the Bible? If you don't get excited about studying the Bible, there's something wrong with your fuel source. I'm sure you won't hear that from any pulpits this morning, but I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back, and you need to be tapped into the right source. What are you going to do when Jesus comes back and you've been serving this world and you've been a friend of the world? I'll tell you what the Scripture says. The Scripture says whoever is a friend of the world is an enemy against God. And that there's going to be many who stand before Almighty God one day and say, but Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things for Your name? And He says, depart from me, I never knew you. You weren't tapped into the right source. You joyed in all this other stuff, but you didn't joy in me. You didn't joy in my word, and you never knew my son. You dwelled in the valley of the shadow of death. You never came out of it. Walk out of the valley of the shadow of death today. Look to the light. God's given you a great light. Tap into the source. That source that continually burns inside of you. That no matter what happens in this life, you're going to know it's okay. No matter what happens to someone that you know, like God's going to take care of it. To just live by faith. They walk by faith, not by sight. This world they couldn't care 2 cents for. They realized, like Abraham, that they're just walking through. They're a pilgrim. They're here for a little bit, but this isn't where they're going to stay. I'm walking through this valley, but every time I look up, I see the light. And I just keep walking towards it. No matter how bad the circumstances are around me, I know I have a Savior in Jesus Christ. They can hurt this body. They can hurt my feelings. They can hurt my family. But they cannot take Jesus away from me. And that's what I constantly look at. The light. No matter what else is going on. Hey, there's a lot of stuff going on. I've never seen the devil at such work in my life as I have this week. But I can look up and I can see the light. And I can see, yeah, the devil's working. But there's something greater than the devil. His name is Jesus. The Scripture tells me I can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by my testimony. Because I look to him. I'm not looking to things in this world. I'm looking to the author and the finisher of my faith. Look with me in verses 6 and 7. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there and peace, there shall be no end. Hey, there's no end in Jesus. This life comes to an end. There is no end with Jesus. And what happens after this life? Well, life really doesn't just end. You take your step into eternity. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, you go to live with Jesus. And when you get there, I know you're going to say, wonderful. Because you're going to realize that the Messiah was talked about. This is what the Scripture said. He was preparing me. You know, back in the Old Testament, they had these promises, but they never got to see the Messiah at work. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the birth. They didn't have the wise men. They didn't have the shepherds. They didn't have the angels. They just had the promise. And to those guys in the Old Testament, that was enough. Because they knew that God was sincere. God was the truth. He kept His promises. And you know what we have? We have the promises, and we have the witness. We don't have to look just at the promises. We don't even have to just accept it by faith anymore. We can actually look at it. We can look at the facts. But just like Jesus, whenever He came back and He was talking to Thomas, and Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe unless I can stick my hands, my fingers in the holes of your hands, and my hand and my fist in your side. I'm not going to believe." And Jesus appears. And all of a sudden, Thomas realizes, "I've made a mistake." And he falls down before Jesus and he says, "My Lord and my God." You see, you need to take Thomas's testimony, and Jesus would say, "Blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen and you've believed. But blessed, even more blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." Yeah, maybe you haven't seen Jesus physically, but you have His testimony. How much more evidence do we need? Science, the heavens are speaking the glory of Almighty God. The scientists are looking at your DNA and they're saying someone must have made it, your DNA. It couldn't have just happened. Well, if science is speaking about it, the Bible is speaking about it, you have no excuse. And there will be people who stand before Almighty God with no excuse. They dwelt in the valley of the shadow of death and they never walk through it. They stayed there. Don't be like that. This Christmas, every time you see a light, think God gave the light of the world. Every time you see a light, think Jesus is the light of the world. And God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God commended His love towards me in that while I was yet a sinner, Jesus died for me. And on the third day, He rose again. Hey, how good can your Christmas be with true joy this year? Every time you open a present, I was telling the kids on Wednesday night, I said, every time you open a present, I want you to turn to one of the adults in that room and say, "God gave us a better present than this. His name is Jesus." I wanted those kids to learn how to be a witness. How much of a witness could it be if you looked at every present and you realized, God gave a better gift than this? Yes, this gift, whatever it may be, it may be thousands of dollars. I don't know. But God gave you a better gift. Whatever's in that box, whatever's in that pretty wrapping paper, it's gonna go away one day. It's gonna fall apart. But there is a free gift of salvation. Have you opened it today? Have you applied it to your life? Because it's a better gift. It only comes when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hey, this week, remember, they had the promise. We've got the witness. Whatever happens on Christmas, I want you to remember, God gave a better gift. What is that gift? It's wonderful. What is that gift? It's a counselor. It's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. What is that gift? It's the Prince of Peace. Can you say that you have that gift today? I hope you can. If you can't, today is the day. Receive it. I can't give it. God gives it. Listen to His voice. Heed His call. Accept the warning of the shadow of death. Don't dwell there. Come out of her. Walk out like David did. Look to the light. The light that was given by Almighty God for people that dwell in that place. He doesn't want you to dwell there. Follow the light, just like the wise men. As the song leader and the pianists come, would you pray with me? Dear Lord, help us to accept the light that you gave so long ago. We want to thank you for Isaiah giving this scripture. Help us, Lord, to understand what true joy is and to apply it to our life, to know that it only comes when the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us. Teach us, Lord, how to understand it. Teach us how to apply it. Lord, this Christmas, help us to receive your true gift and to live the way that you'd have us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.